Hey guys, this is Eddie Rivera with City Line Bible Church Men's Ministry. As we bring you the word, stay tuned. Remember James 1:22 that says, "Be doers of the word and not just hearers." Today's message is a new way of living. If we believe in Jesus Christ, we have a new way of living. A new way of living starts with a commitment to God and to each other. We could learn a lot of things from geese, because geese are committed to each other. I'm going to read some important facts that I Googled and found out about geese. Fact number one, as each goose flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the bird that follows. By flying in a V formation, the whole flock adds 71 greater flying range than it did by itself. Fact number two, when a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the drag and the resistance of flying alone. It quickly moves back into formation to take advantage of the lifting power of the birds immediately in front of it. Sounds like someone in small group who's going through some resistance flying right back into formation when things go bad. Fact number three, when the lead goose tires, it rotates back into formation and another goose flies to the point position. Fact number four, the geese flying in formation honks to encourage those up in front to keep the speed. Keep going. Don't quit. Keep going. Fact number five, when a geese is sick or wounded or shot down, two geese drop out of formation and follow it to help it and protect it. They stay with it until it dies or it's able to fly again. Then they launch out with another formation to catch up with the flock. See, we could learn a lot from these geese, right? We need to be committed to Jesus and each other. Just like these geese, they have some important facts, important things that they do. Really interesting in how they operate. But we need to operate the same way. We need to create that uplift to take our brother 75% greater flying range. We need to go back into formation when we start losing our focus in life. Are we willing to step in and lead when our leaders start getting tired? Are we willing to honk and encourage our brothers when they start falling out of line because they're all tired up? When your brothers are down, do you go down and help them? See, a new way of living for Jesus, we need to commit to God and to our brothers. All right, so we'll be going through Hebrews 10, 19 through 25, but first we're going to look at some facts, some background. Basically, what I want to do is I want to take you back in time, and I want to place you in the moment that this was written, who wrote it, to who they were writing it to, and what the circumstances were going on in order for us to determine what Scripture states was happening. So at first, we're going to look at the book of Hebrews, the author is believed to be Apollos or Barnabas. And he was talking to a mixed ethnic background, Gentiles and Jews that received Christ. They were living in Rome. So this is the Church of Rome. And the book has an ingredient of a letter, but its intention was a sermon of exhortation. So we want to make sure we understand how it was written in order for us to understand the correct biblical interpretation of it. So you can't use some scripture out of history, like the book of Acts, and try to say something that was said in a letter. So you want to make sure you know the grammatical structure of it. What was going on is that the people there that were in that church were Christ followers and had to deal with severe persecution from the Emperor Nero. Emperor Nero, supposedly he burned Rome down himself and blamed it on the Christians. And he started persecuting the Christians. And basically, it boiled down to they had an option: either continue to be persecuted, or go back to Judaism, or worship the emperor, because persecution was taking its toll. The author suggests that some were drifting away and turning away from the living God, Hebrews 3:12, neglecting the message spoken by Christ in 2:3, and failing to attain the promise rest, which is in 4:1, is all in the book of Hebrews. Failing with unbelief, as in the wilderness, 4:11, growing weary, losing heart, 12:3, and in danger of falling away, 6:6. Just imagine, they were experiencing what the Jews were experiencing at the Holocaust. The possessions were being taken away. They were being persecuted and killed. These extreme things were going on because they were followers of Christ. So they had to make a decision what they're going to do. And what the author was doing was exhorting, encouraging them to stay faithful to Christ and not to fall into the pressures of society. Because the cost of discipleship is great, but we must persevere in faith. We must endure to the end. And that basically is the setting of the scripture that we're about to go into. So let's open up our Bibles to Hebrews 10, verse 19 through 25. So the chapter starts with therefore. Therefore what? Which means we must go back to the chapter before that because it's summarizing it right now. So if you read from verse 10 in the prior chapter, which is chapter 9, verse 10 through 18, summarizing it for you, basically is that Jesus is the better sacrifice. He's the better sacrifice than animals. He's the ultimate sacrifice. He's the perfect lamb that no longer do we need to have sacrifices to pay for our sins. He did it once and for all. And then it goes into this chapter. And it says, therefore, brothers, since we have this confidence to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by this new living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have this great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance and faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promises is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting meeting together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And the day of drawing near means the day of your salvation. So I'm going to quickly go through 3 points. Point number one, a committed man has a new way of living by holding fast to Jesus Christ. Point number two is going to be about stirring one another to love and good works. And point number three is a committed man commits to meeting together and encouraging one another. Point number one, a committed man holds fast to the hope found in Jesus Christ and has a new way of living. Verse 23 says, let us hold fast to this confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So we should be faithful just as well. Let's look at this verse and let's look at the word hold fast. The Greek word is katecho, which is to have, to hold fast, to retain, or to hold down, basically not letting go. I want you to picture to yourself on top, you're holding on to a rope, and on the bottom is a lake full of alligators, and you're holding for your dear life. You're holding onto that rope without wavering, without compromising. You're not even looking for any other type of rope because there's no other rope that's strong enough that's going to carry your weight. You're holding fast to Jesus. He did so much for you. He's the one who died for you. He redeemed you from hell. He sanctified you. He freed you from the yoke of slavery.
How do you repay him? Obedience, by prioritizing your spiritual life, to be a doer of the word. That's how you hold fast. Enduring, like he endured on the cross. Point number two. A committed man has a new way of living by stirring one another to love and good works. That's verse 24, and it says, let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works. Why stir one another? Well, it's because of today's society. See, back then in that reading, it was Nero and everything that was going on back then. But today, it's obvious that we're not in that same situation. Nero's not persecuting us. Society basically is manipulated by the devil and his evil schemes. He's created this spiritual Disneyland with the world systems for God's people. His goal is to deceive us, to suck us in, to distract us, to make us to the point where he numbs us from God's agenda. See, remember, there's two kingdoms that coexist and are in competitions over your life. The way you prioritize your life will determine the winner. Let me break down two words in this verse. The first word is consider. The word consider in Greek is kataneo, and it's to consider, to contemplate. It is to give very careful consideration, to think about very carefully, to consider closely, or you're putting thought into something. Next, the word is to stir. The word stir in Greek is paroxysmos, which means rousing to activity, stirring up, provoking. Let me bring those two together. In other words, think about how you're going to provoke or rouse someone. It's like picking a fight. Somebody like, come on, man, let's go. You know, you're trying to, you're provoking, you're considering how to provoke, to stir one another. So it's like picking a fight. Come get some, basically. Come on, I'm going to fight you. That's provoking. Now provoke each other to love and good works instead. Titus 3:8 says that to devote yourself to love and good works. So how can we do that? How does that look like? I'll give you an example. A brother by the name of Oscar ended up, his father-in-law ended up passing away. He had to fly out of town, and it was Labor Day weekend. And he had bought this awesome flaming young, and it was a real big piece of meat. And he told me, I can't enjoy this. I'm going to leave this to you, brother. You enjoy it with your family. To me, that spoke love. This is flaming young. This is some great meat. I cooked this thing, and this thing like melted in my mouth. Enjoyed it watching the Bears game. That to me was, he was stirring me up in love. Another time is where a brother of mine who ended up, his wife ended up coming to our house for some reason. I can't remember what the reason was, but she got pulled over because one of her back lights wasn't working. So I ended up, she ended up showing up here. I just took the keys and I fixed the light myself because I know that my brother Al has a lot of time where he doesn't have a lot of time. He's busy. So I did that for him, and I'm showing him love and I'm stirring him to love and good works. We go out together once in a blue moon, and we do street evangelism when we have the time to do it. So we're constantly stirring each other. Now I'm going to speak more about that at the next point. Point number three, a committed man has a new way of living and does not neglect meeting together and encourages one another. See, verse 25 says, not neglecting to meet together as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The day drawing near means the day of your salvation. So when it says neglect, it means you fail at prioritizing what's important. You need to prioritize your life right. The word neglect in Greek is agatapaleo, and it means leave, to forsake, abandon, desert, to leave behind in any place or state. I want you to think about a jar. And in this jar, I'm going to put some big rocks. And I'm going to fill up that jar with these rocks. And I'm going to ask you, is the jar full? You might say yes or no. Well, I'm going to pour some gravel inside this jar. And then I'm going to fill it up to the very top. And I'm going to ask you, is this jar full? You might say again, maybe yes or no. I'll pour some sand in it and I'll shake it up and make sure everything's filled up. And I'm going to ask you, is the jar full? Again, you might say yes or no. I'll pour water in it now. And I'm going to ask you, is the jar full? And at this point, you might be like, maybe it is, maybe it's not. Well, the point is not that the jar is full. The point is that if you don't put those big rocks in there first, everything's going to take up its space. See, prioritization means you have to prioritize your spiritual life, because if not, life is going to suck it all up. At one point in time, I went to the doctor's office. And the doctor, after they did some blood work, told me that I had the beginning stages of heart disease. And I was in my early 30s. That was devastating news. I was to the point where I was talking to my wife. We were walking through the park and I was just bawling. I was crying and didn't know what was going to happen. That was a death sentence. I changed the way I ate. I was running for 45 minutes straight every day to try to reverse it. I was lost. Within a week's time, I was back at the doctor's office because I believed I had every symptom known to man after researching it. When I get to the doctor's office and I tell them I want to speak to the doctor, they tell me, don't you know? And I'm like, don't I know what? And I'm like, about your doctor? I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. And they're like, just hold on. I'm like, but what? What? I says, I got this condition and I need, I feel like it's it. You know, I got heart disease. I need some help. And they're like, calm down. We're going to get you a doctor. So eventually I sit down with this doctor and the doctor tells me, you don't know. And I'm like, why do you guys keep saying, I don't know. I don't know. What are you talking about? And they're like, your doctor died. And I'm like, what? What? What are you talking about? And they told me, she tells me she had brain cancer. And I told her not to practice, but she didn't listen and she practiced anyways. I'm like, oh my Lord. She says she misdiagnosed you. Now that was a shambles for me because I was like mad, angry, happy, mixed emotions. But what happened was that it made me prioritize my life and it made me make sure that I had the big rocks in my life. I made sure to prioritize my walk with the Lord, to prioritize small group, to prioritize going to church, that Jesus was the only way, that I, that that point in time, desired to be the pastor of my home, but it took a crisis to draw me to the Lord. And I hope that it doesn't take you the same. This is the moment that you have right now to make the difference, to be the pastor of your home. Don't let it take a situation like that. Now, the early church would meet together and they cherished it. Everyone in society at that time cherished meeting together. The Greek moralists and the Jewish teachers warned about individualism. The synagogues were a community center where the Jews gathered on the Sabbath to read the scriptures and to pray. It was a priority to gather in community. See, what Barnabas or Apollos, whoever the one was right in this, is saying, do not neglect meeting together and pick others up. Men are dying alone. There's a story of a boy who was with his dad and they were walking on the beach. And there was a bunch of starfish all over the place, hundreds of them. Thousands of them. And the little boy tells his dad, let's save him. So he starts picking up the stars and they start throwing them back into the ocean. And after some time, about half hour later, they were getting tired. They threw so many that the little boy says to his dad, "Dad, it just doesn't matter. There's too many of them." And the father tells him, "It matters to the one you threw back in." Men, it matters. It matters that we seek these men to throw them back in. See, we're supposed to be the example of who Christ is, going after that lost sheep. Now, the best example we could find is in Acts 2:42, where it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer." If you love God, you're devoted. The question is, are you devoted? Devoted men meet together and devote themselves to God in small groups. See, life in our church is in small groups. Some of you are in small groups and some of you are not. And I want to pick you up and throw you back in, just like that little boy did. See, I want to stir you up and encourage you in the faith to prioritize your spiritual walk with God, your spiritual disciplines, showing up to church, being in small group, showing up to men's breakfast. I want to stir you up in that. I want to flame you, to fan the flames inside your soul. I'm going to give you five areas in your life that stop you from prioritizing meeting together. Number one, sin. It's keeping you back. There's something that you got going on that you're just not confessing. You're just dealing with it. See, either church keeps you from sin or sin keeps you from the church. Number two, you're failing to prioritize in your life. You're putting everything else first. Number three, family. Your family became an idol before God. Listen, you need to be the pastor of your home. You're useless to your family without God. You need to prioritize your relationship with God first. Point number four, work. You're trying to gain the world. Or you're just trying to provide too much. Or you just mismanage your money and you're in debt. And point number five, you're becoming cold to God and drifting away due to problems and trials. Your problems and trials should bring you closer to God, not farther away. But you could be just like that church in Rome that was just drifting because it started compromising. It said, you know, it's better for me to return. You know, they were returning to Judaism or to worship the emperor because they didn't want to deal with the strife anymore. For us, we might be just compromising and saying, you know what, I just don't want to follow Jesus anymore. I prefer to bask in sin. Those are the things that are stopping you from prioritizing meeting together. And if you're in sin, you need to repent and get back in and do what you got to do to fix those issues that are keeping you away. I'm going to give you 5 points to exhort you to stay or to join a small group. Because I don't know what you're going through, but God's calling you to stay faithful. So point number one is, don't let society, don't let the spiritual Disneyland stop you from small group. Don't neglect meeting together. Don't drift away alone like this church in Rome. Persevere. Come when you don't feel like it. Jeremiah 17:9 says that the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Don't let your heart deceive you. Don't grow weary. Don't lose heart. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 through 18. Remember that if you continue to do what you've always done, you're going to be in the same place only later. You need to change. If you want to change, you need to change. Avoid the creation of bad habits. Avoid not coming. Because if you don't show up to small group a few times, you created a habit already. Remember that one strand is easily broken, but multiple strands, it's harder for that to break. Come prepared and encourage your small group from your deep study with God and your prayer life. Bring that to your small group. Mutually exhort one another Don't come just with the desire to receive. Come to give. Rouse your brothers to love and good deeds. Serve in the church. Motivate your brothers to serve in the church. Do life on life with each other. Invite each other to your birthday parties of your kids and wives. Attend each other's family events. That's going to grow you closer together. Pray for each other. Struggles every day. Help them when in need. Visit and pray for them in the hospital when they're sick. Visit your brothers in prison. Encourage one another. Have meals together. Break bread together. Pray together. Do evangelism together. Help the widows, the orphans. Be mentors to the youth. Do things together. Last point is, be transparent. Don't wear a mask. Confess your sins to one another. Don't show up to small group pretending that everything's okay. When you confess your sins to your brothers love you. They care for you. They don't want you to destroy your family. They don't want you to be destroyed. They do it from love, not judgment, because nobody is perfect. We're all sinners in need of a Savior. So to conclude, say yes to Jesus and no to this society and the world systems. Prioritize your life and put God first. Lastly, hold fast to Jesus. Stir one another to join a small group or strengthen one and do life together, brothers. Don't neglect meeting together. Brothers, continue to fight. We are to love God, love people, make disciples for the glory of God. God bless.